Good morning. Miracles. Really? You hear this reading from Mark's Gospel this morning, and there's a story of a father who asks Jesus to heal his daughter. And at the end of the story, we find that he raises her from the dead. There's a woman who has been suffering from hemorrhaging, bleeding for 12 years, and she just touches the cloak of Jesus, and she's healed. Really? That may be the way we kind of see these stories, these miracle stories. Mark's Gospel, I think about 30% of Mark's Gospel has miracles. So they're there. And the minds that we have today in our time, in our culture, and is kind of like, really? The folks who wrote these stories and those who first heard these stories probably didn't have that same kind of initial reaction. They heard these stories perhaps in a different way. The time and the culture in which they lived was different than ours, and the idea of miracles perhaps was seen differently. There's many different suggestions among scripture scholars as to what these miracles are about. Some suggest that the miracle stories are kind of a literary genre, a literary style of ancient people and ancient cultures, to use miracles to show that the person about whom this story is about is somehow holy, special, different from God, and performs miracles. It was more of a literary style of putting an attention to somebody. Some scripture scholars will say that, well, some of the miracles maybe were miracles, and maybe some of the miracles were ordinary situations that were seen as miracles. An example, someone says that Jesus walking on the water, perhaps they were in the boat and they looked out and it was a cloudy kind of day and Jesus was actually walking along the sand of the beach, but it looked like he was walking on the water and it was seen as walking on the water. And some of the other miracles, maybe there's explanations for some of them. And there's folks who say they were miracles. That's the way they happened. But I think our mind has a tough time maneuvering around that. Those folks at that time, whatever their interpretation was, and there's others as well, they were still able to enter into the story. And I think sometimes our challenge to accept or understand what the miracles mean can be sort of we get stuck there. And we forget that these miracle stories are miracle stories. That they have a meaning, they have a message that certainly the early Christians heard. Mark felt a need to tell, and we need to hear in our time and in our culture and in our way of thinking today. And so we look at this story. You know, remember Richard Rohr says, the scriptures are not literal, but they're true. The scriptures are not necessarily literal, but they're true. That the stories, the scriptures, have such meaning and truthfulness to them. And we need to delve into these scriptures and hear that deep meaning, to hear that truth. However we see the story being told, there's a value to the story. So I'd like to look at this story today that we heard from Mark's Gospel and offer perhaps one way of meaning that it spoke to me as I thought about it this week in the context of all that's happened this past week in our culture, in our society, in our country. Because scriptures speak to all time, and they can speak and offer meaning to us. I'd like to talk a little bit about that today. It's about Jesus, where we often find Jesus, out and about. He's in the community. He visits towns and villages. And that's where a lot of the stories are about Jesus, if you think about it. And that's where Jesus is today. He's not in the synagogue. He's not in the temple. He's out living his life where people live their lives. And it's interesting how it says Jesus went to the other side of this lake, and a synagogue leader, I think this is significant, a synagogue leader, Jairus, steps out of the synagogue and encounters Jesus and says to Jesus, can you picture, I mean, just think about this. Jairus, his daughter is dying. And he's heard about this Jesus. And he says to Jesus, can you do something? Please come to my house and help my daughter. Can you hear that? Can you come to my house and do something for my daughter? Jairus had heard about Jesus. Can you come to my house? And Jesus says, sure. And so he begins to walk with Jairus. And on the way, you can picture Jairus saying, okay, I live over here. Come walk with me. And there was a crowd. You can picture Jairus trying to lead Jesus through this crowd to his home where his daughter is dying. And Mark, in this reading, puts a miracle in between a miracle. On the way, Jesus is walking, and it's told there's a woman who has been hemorrhaging, bleeding for 12 years. And she's heard about Jesus, and she just touches his cloak, and she's healed. And it seems to make Jesus stop. Jesus senses that something has happened. I just think Jesus had this great ability to be present to where he was. You ever meet somebody like that? They just have such a sense of things that Jesus senses something has happened. Something has happened. And he says, I can tell something's happened. Who touched me? And the disciples, you know, the disciples always speak like we do, you know. What are you kidding me? We're in a crowd. Who touched you? Lots of people are touching you. And so this is going on. And can you picture Jairus over here? Jairus over here saying, get to my house. My daughter is dying. Get to my house. And there's this conversation going on. And then finally, the woman comes to Jesus and says, I'm the one. And, you know, Jesus, your faith has healed you. And while this is going on, word comes from Jairus' home that his daughter has died. Can you picture the emptiness? He's like, did you have to stop and do that? Did you have to do that? I mean, just his frustration, his sadness, his anxiety. Can you just picture that? A dad whose daughter is dying and he has hope this person can do something. He's waiting. And Jesus says, don't worry about it. And he continues and he goes to the house. And the story is that he gets to the home and says she's only sleeping. And people laughed at Jesus. People laughed at Jesus. And he reaches out. And the story is he raises the girl from the dead. And in such a human way says, get her some food. In the midst of all that's probably going on, get her some food. It's a wonderful story. It's a wonderful story. And how it, what it really offers to me is these stories were told, these stories are put in the Gospels for a reason. The church was forming. The early Christian community was trying to discover who it was and what it was about. And we believe that Mark's Gospel of the three synoptics and John's Gospel, the four Gospels, Mark was the first. So this is the early church really trying to discern and discover itself. And I think it can speak to us, maybe repeating what a message that we've been speaking of for a while. Jesus' ministry was not, it seems, not about trying to get people into the synagogue. Jesus' ministry didn't seem to be, how do you get people into the temple? Jesus' ministry seemed to be with people trying to hear what their needs were, to find ways that this healing presence, this loving presence could be offered. in encountering and engaging with people. That was an image of church. As you know, we've talked about the idea of we're called to go to Galilee. So often the church can, and this is important too, but the church can get focused on the church gathered. How do we get more people into the synagogue? How do we get more people into the temple? How do you fill the pews? How do you get more people to pledge? How do you get people here? Hey, we've got something to offer. I wish people would know about it. I wish people could discover it. We've got something here. I think we do, by the way. But if you, with Jesus, you hear something different. Jesus is kind of like, what can I do for you? How can we be for you? And form that. And people's lives are touched. People's lives are transformed. People's lives are changed. And perhaps the church sent forth can touch people's lives in a transforming way. And perhaps they'll become part of the church gathered. But that wasn't the most significant thing for Jesus. It was about forming a loving, caring community of folks who go forth and do that as well. And so I hear that in our gospel reading today, that challenge to us to not just be the church gathered, but to be the church sent forth, to be the church that goes out into the world. There are people in our community who are in need of healing. There are people in our communities who are bleeding. There are people in our communities who suffer from homelessness and poverty right across from the parking lot. Right down the road, in our community, there are people who are losing a place to stay. How can we be a community that reaches out beyond and touches people's lives? That's a message I hear in our gospel reading today. Offer that to you, to delve into that, to hear the call, to go forth into the world, and as our new presiding bishop says, love God, love your neighbor. Change the world. Change the world.